Joshua chapter 24 and verse 19 is where we are. Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins." All right. You choosing difficult verses? Here's one right here. Tonight we have a challenging, difficult verse before us, and you can probably identify not one but two hard sayings here in this verse. One verse. First is, you will not be able to serve the Lord. And the second is, he will not forgive your transgression or your sins. And so this is our task tonight, to see if we can untangle this a bit. At first, the first statement strikes us as a bit ironic, for Joshua had just said up in verse 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." And the people answered Joshua. They said in verse 16, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." And go down to verse 18, and they say, "We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Now, Joshua had just said to them, all right, now today's a day of choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Either the gods that your fathers, forefathers served, or the Lord who's been with you now for these 40-something years. Now, as for me and my house, that's a famous statement, we're going to serve the Lord. And they said, well, we will too. And then he says, you will not be able to. And there is an irony there. The people are saying, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now, every modern evangelist would be happy with that answer, wouldn't he? Says, amen. We had 100% approval here. And we had a real move of the Spirit. But Joshua said, you will not be able to serve the Lord. Was he wrong? Was he wrong in saying this? Is he just a dour personality? Is he just tired? This is towards the end of his life. And he's just, you know, like some of us, we just start feeling like, I've given up my best shot, and I don't know if I can go do any more. Is that what's going on? Was Joshua overstating it, or was he wrong? Now, there's two answers to this. He was true. If what he said was true on two levels, this part has two truths couched here within. The first is this, kind of a generic you who are men, you who are of the human family, you who are tainted by sin, you who are swayed by your emotions and pulled by your appetites, you will not be able to serve God. At least you will not be able to serve him acceptably in your natural strength. Does that make sense? And I've got a couple of New Testament verses that will kind of come along and corroborate this. One of them is the time that the woman was by the well, Jesus was there, and they were discussing things. The disciples had gone off into some of that town in Samaria, and they were getting food, and conversation ensued, and she realizes that she's dealing with a religious figure. And then they start this, the conversation turns religious. And finally, after she has said to him, now you guys say that we should worship in Jerusalem, but our fathers have worshiped on this mountain. And he said, listen, let me tell you this, and you know the verse. He said, our Lord said, God is a spirit, and those who worship him, what? Must worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, they must not come in their own strength. You don't come in your own wisdom like you've been doing all your life here in Samaria. You come to God on his terms, and you come his way, and you come with his help and his strength. And I'm glad that he added, a time is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. And he was laying out for her the hope of the gospel, that the Spirit of God was going to come and open their eyes to see, and they were going to be filled with God himself, and he would help them to come acceptably before the Father. Now, you start the book of Romans, changing scenery here, and you get over to the book of Romans, and Paul said that he served God in his spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son. So there are these two thoughts here, and there's others that say, if we're going to serve God, we're going to have to do it by the Spirit. And so that adds some color to what Joshua has just said. You, and he could say that to any one of us, you will not be able to serve the Lord in your natural strength. If we're going to bear fruit, abiding fruit, then what must we do? And I'm thinking of John 15 now. We abide in the vine. And what happens when we are in the vine? His life comes into us. And then we bear fruit when the life of God, the sap of the vine, comes into each little branch, and then the fruit clusters appear, and we're serving God acceptably. We're serving him by the Spirit. And our Lord would say, you know, without me, you can do what? Nothing. That pretty well defines it, doesn't it? It doesn't take too many words. Our Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. Joshua looks at his fellow countrymen and says, now, if you're thinking along a certain line, then you will not be able to serve the Lord. Now, that's the generic sense. It's also true in a specific sense, a personal sense. You folks, he was saying, I know what's in your heart. And Andrew McLaren said that he sensed almost an over-eagerness of response. Now, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, we are too. Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve him other gods. But Joshua knew their hearts. What did he know? Look at verse 14 again. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And what? Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. They were the offspring of idolaters. Terah, Abram's father, and his father before him up there on the other side of the river had served foreign deities. They had been introduced to the Lord, and he had made himself known to Abraham, to Abraham's descendants, Isaac and Jacob. They went into Egypt. God was with them. He was helping them, but something of Egypt sort of rubbed off on them. You know, it is said that the Hebrews never were delivered finally of their idolatry until the Babylonian captivity. That when they came back from that, it was completely broken out of them, and they never had trouble with that again. They had trouble with other things, didn't they? Legalism, self-righteousness, unbelief of every form and fashion. But idolatry, no. And as Joshua looked at his countrymen, he says, now I know that your hearts are divided. And with that divided heart, a little bit of Baal and a little bit of Jehovah, or a little bit of Yahweh and a little bit of whoever Terah was worshiping, or Ra from Egypt, or whatever their different names were. He says, no, you cannot serve God that way. He must have the whole heart or none. And what he is demanding here is this whole heart. So that's the first part of this difficult verse. It's not all that difficult unless our heart's not completely united with him, or if we think that we can serve God in our own strength, that it just, we'll toss him a bone here and there and he'll be honored. No. Now, the second part of that verse is just this. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. What? Now, maybe some Israelite there in the crowd thought or even said, you know, I thought that I'd never say this, but I kind of miss Moses. Moses at least said this to us, and he reminded them of what God said to Moses on the mountain. The Lord, as he walks by, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Ah, a lovely message. I love that. I love when Moses talks that way to us. Where is he now? You, Joshua, now you're telling us that God will not forgive us our transgression or our sin. Now, why did he say that? Because the Lord went on to say to Moses, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and the fourth generations. And then Joshua added this. He said, he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. It's a warning, isn't it? He is warning them. Now, I know that there's false gods among you, he's already just basically said. Well, he has said it. And I know that your hearts are moved this way and that, and you come to a day of decision, and you hear one man saying, yes, my house is going to serve the Lord, and something in your heart says, we will too, but count the cost, be clear and be certain on this. God will not have half the heart. He'll have all or nothing. And he doesn't want to be one more deity in the list of deities that you revere. No, no. He has all the heart or none. Acknowledge the Lord and serve the Lord. If you don't, then you'll find yourself walking contrary to him, and there'll be no forgiveness. Now, Alexander McLaren, we quoted him, or we spoke of him a moment ago. We can almost quote him again. He says that there's a challenge in all of this. And what he means is this. Sometimes people are motivated to do their best when someone says to them, I'm not sure you can do this. I don't know if you've had an athletic coach say something to you in your team, says, boys, I just don't know. Unless you give it your all, I don't think that you'll be able to win or pull this victory off. And their blood starts to boil, and they say, we're going to do it. I can remember over here, good old SFA, I'm pointing kind of northwest from here. And my organ professor said to me, we're picking out pieces to play for my senior recital. And I said, I want to do this Bach Toccata in F major. It's BWV 540 if you want to look that up. Beautiful piece, hard piece. And he said, I don't know if you can do that. Well, oh, yes, I can, and I'm going to show you. And I buckled down, and I got on the outside of that piece, and I got it inside me, and I played that thing at the end. He said, that's the best thing you played tonight. So it worked. The challenge worked. The challenge provoked me to do my best. The challenge provoked me to give myself, like the sports team, to give themselves to this one task. And when Joshua says, you're not going to be able to do this, he's not trying to hamstring them or knock their feet out from underneath them or just say, I'm holy and you're not. That's not his purpose, is it? He's saying, fellas, this is a high calling. Folks, this is a great thing that God has called us to do and to be. Let's give it everything that we've got. Let's get rid of all these other influences, all these things that pull our attention and divide our hearts and take us this way and then take us that way. Let's all of it. Push it all aside. and let's serve the Lord. Now, there's a happy note towards the end of this chapter. And it says in verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and they had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. And so it's possible, isn't it? It's possible to hear the warning. It's possible to hear the rebuke to the flesh. And then in spirit to rise and say, no, but we will serve the Lord. And then it is possible to do it. Well, may God bless our resolve and our efforts, and may he make them spiritual indeed. Born of his Spirit, watered by his Spirit, done in the Spirit. Let's pray.